Everyone's here pointing the finger at the second seat, Liam Lawson. Why are we not pointing fingers at Christian Horner? Helmut Marko. Helmut Marko's talent ID, I said this a few months ago, is rotten. There's absolutely no way Max Verstappen is the only person in the world who can drive that Red Bull. Welcome back, everyone, to another Boxbox episode leading up to the Japanese Grand Prix. And if you're thinking, oh my god, you sound unwell, hungover, unwell again. Not. So I ran out of things to say there. I've got hay fever, and for some reason it's decided to attack my throat.
Don't worry, guys. You know, I know a lot of people suffer with hay fever, and you know, you just get on with it. But we're now in that period where we will hear about this every single week from Luke.
Not me. I'm getting my jab. I'll be having my jab this week. Okay. So,
for the week then.
I'll be clearing that right up. I'm not going to suffer from hay fever any longer.
It didn't work as well last year though, did it?
Worked an absolute treat.
Or was it the year before?
That was the first year I got it and it worked an absolute treat. Every time I've had the jab, I've not had a single symptom.
Jamie didn't work well last year.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
I was absolutely cured.
Good.
It does nothing. Like, it literally, like, deads every symptom. So, yeah, I got an itchy nose, which is kind of fine. And for some reason, it's just, like, sitting, like, right in my throat. So if I, you know, I get, my voice is a little bit fatigued. It's a bit harder to speak. So, you know, really make sure you click that like button and give us 5 stars because it was really tough to You don't realise what we go through as content creators to make this happen for you.
What a load of crap.
But no, seriously, do give us a 5-star rating. Wherever you are listening to us, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other audio platform that you probably don't consume your podcast on. Also, if you are watching us on YouTube, give us a like rating. I've been told up 5 stars. Just give us a like. Subscribe if you're new and comment down below. Join the conversation. We do also have an email that you can hit us on. Hit us up at on email us.
It's going to be a long episode.
The link is in the description down below. And yeah, if you do want more regular content, you can follow us on social media. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. The links will all be in the description. If you're listening to us, then just go on Instagram and search Boxbox Pod. And we'll come up on Insta and then you can find all our other links. You can also watch our clips channel. The link will be in the description down below for those watching on YouTube. If you're listening, again, you want to watch some clips, Boxbox clips on YouTube. Before we finally get into the show, do not forget to get your 30% discount for Boxbox Club. The app is absolutely free to download, so try it out. But it really is... I've really got you into it now.
You have. Obviously, when I left, what was it, last week, we changed up a bit on my screensaver. Yeah. It is decent.
You can download all your favourite F1 widgets. It is just a great app to have for F1 in general if you want to check up what's happening. They have a news feed. You can look at all the information for the upcoming races, the calendar. Highly recommend it. And we do have an exclusive 30% off for all of you listening right now. You just have to click the link in our bio, and we will sort you out. But like I say, it's free. If you just want a free version, download the free version. You'll be sold. You will get the paid version. But yeah, I guess, has anything happened this week?
Nah, I can't really think of anything, to be honest. No, nothing major in the world of F1. Podcast over.
Yeah, we'll call it that. See you later, guys.
No, obviously big news last week when we spoke about it, didn't we, on the podcast, going will Liam Lawson actually, you know, last a few races at Red Bull. We got our answer last week, or this week, and the answer is no. Liam Lawson has been dropped by Red Bull. He's gone back to RB for the third time, may I just add.
Well, he hasn't been dropped 3 times.
Okay, well, no. But he's been dropped. He's going back to RB for the third time. He's going back to RB for the third time. And Yuki Tsunoda has been promoted to Red Bull. So, delighted for Yuki.
I think with that, that's the thing. Like, everyone is happy for Yuki.
It's been a bittersweet, isn't it, really? Because if Yuki had got the seat last year, everyone would have been delighted. Everyone would have been, you know, gone, yes, he fully deserved that. Fantastic. He's in that Red Bull seat. However, this feels a bit sour because Yuki's got this seat off the back of a driver who we thought shouldn't have got it in the first place, mm-hmm. who hasn't performed in two races, who's been dropped. And then it's kind of like, oh, well, Yuki, it's now your chance to wear. It feels a bit weird, doesn't it?
Well, it's like, you know, if you're, I mean, you won't understand this, but if you're dating two girls at the same time.
Well, hang on. Does Ruth know you're dating two girls?
Back in my heyday when I was like, you know, 14. And, and you know, you're like, I don't know who to pick. I don't know what one to pick. And you pick one. And then like a couple of weeks go by, you're like, oh, I picked the wrong one. And it's like that. And then, you know, the other girl, she knows it's not special. You've already picked someone else over her. You're just running back. So it's probably, the thing is nothing is going to taint this for Yuki Tsunoda. Do you know what I mean? If anything, given that I think we understand how these athletes feel, it could actually feel even sweeter for Yuki Tsunoda that it's happened this way.
Yeah, I can imagine he's looking at it going, told you so.
Do you reckon him and Liam Lawson have spoken?
I don't think so. Because I think Yuki was probably pissed that he didn't get the seat.
Rightfully so, yeah.
So I don't know if I don't know. I don't know. It's such a weird one, isn't it? Because
I would have just texted him with just like a smiley face.
Or the middle finger, because that's what he did.
So this is the thing, right? I think generally, like, we feel kind of bad for Liam Lawson here at BoxBox, but there's a lot of people online who have absolutely zero kind of like remorse for him. Like, they don't feel bad for him at all.
And I've got one person specifically who does not feel bad, and that is Jack Villeneuve. I don't know if you've seen what he said.
No, but he's a pretty straight-talking chap.
So Jack Villeneuve said, Lawson is paying his own price. You have to bear in mind that he came into F1 very arrogant.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people who, as you said, over social media has come out saying he deserved it. You can't be that arrogant. You can't be going up against a two-time world champion, Alonso, trying to dig out at him, you know, Checo, all of these people, and then come into the sport and not perform. And that's exactly what Liam Lawson has done. He's given it the, you know, yeah, I'm the big man. And actually, he hasn't proved it.
And I think that's the thing. When you come in with such a, you know, I really don't mind the ego, the arrogance, whatever. Like, I really don't, because I'm sure a lot of people would be like, oh, you're Lewis fans. You didn't mind when Lewis came in 07. He was, you know, giving it the big I am. I don't. No. He backed it up on track.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the thing. If Liam Lawson came in, you know, with all this attitude last season, things that he said in the press moving forward, and he came in, he was going toe-to-toe with Max, I think everyone would be like, I like this kid.
Yeah.
You know, he's got something about him. But ultimately, he did all that. We know what it's like to piss off Checo fans, right? We've done that enough. Mm. He really pissed off Checo fans.
Yeah.
And I stated last week, Checo would be doing a better job this season than Liam Lawson. I don't even question that.
Oh, yeah, he would have put it in P18 or something instead of P20.
Yeah, which, you know, that's substantially better. That's 10% better. You know that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he got what he deserved in a racing sense. I think on a human level, no one deserves what he's been through. But this is Red Bull's fault. They shouldn't have put him in the seat in the first place. But performance-wise, he did get what he deserved. But my God, is it harsh.
It is harsh. And just going back to what I said about, obviously, Fernando Alonso, the beef that Liam Lawson and Alonso had last year. You know, Alonso did come out after and said, it's his career that's at stake, not mine. And he was obviously talking about trying to get a seat at Red Bull and a full-time seat. Mm-hmm. But you have to stay a bit humble to a certain extent when you're trying to go up against these big drivers, these big personalities, you've got to back it up.
And that's the thing, like, I'm not sure it's about being humble, but it's definitely about at least backing it up. Like, if you are going to be egotistical, arrogant, I think that's great. Like, we love personalities on the grid, right?
100%, yeah.
Doesn't matter what end of the spectrum you're on, whether you're, like, you know, a villain or a fan favourite, they're all great. But if you are a villain in particular, you have to back it up on track. And he didn't.
The bit that I find that I feel sorry for Lawson is simply the fact when you look at the two races he's been given, okay, he's worked all of his career to get to this point. He's now been given this opportunity in the Red Bull seat, one of the top teams on the grid. And the first race you have is Australia. It's a wet race. A lot of people struggled. It wasn't, you know, even Carlos Sainz went off. You know, it wasn't a Fernando Alonso crash. It wasn't an easy race for anyone. You then go to China. Okay. Doesn't have enough practice time. It's a sprint weekend. Mm-hmm. So you're thrown into that. He hasn't driven at either of these tracks before. I would have liked to seen him given another couple of races to then, because then you can categorically say he is not suited to this team. Because after two races in quite difficult situations, it's very hard. And I know a lot of people will say, well, he's a professional driver. He should be able to deal with this.
Well, so I think that's my argument. It's not that he should be able to deal with it. It's as a Red Bull driver, you should be able to deal with it. And I think that's the difference. You need to look. He's not. If you're coming in as a, if you want to classify him as a rookie, I'll join you for this. If you're coming in as a rookie at Red Bull, you need to be a very different rookie to someone coming in as a rookie at Haas or Stake. Those guys can afford to make mistakes. If you're coming into a top team, there is no margin for error.
No.
And unfortunately, he got off to literally the worst possible start. And he paid the price.
I suppose I'm going to backtrack a bit now after what I've just said, because thinking about it, Oli Behrmann did well in China. Isaac Hadjar did well in China.
Do you know what I mean? They've got more leeway because they're not... If you're coming in as a rookie to Red... And like I say, I don't think Liam Lawson is a rookie, but let's say for the purpose of this argument, you're coming in as a rookie to Red Bull.
Yeah.
You're a different caliber of driver to someone coming in as a rookie for Haas. That's just a fact, because if you're racing for a top team, you need to be a top driver. 100%. And unfortunately, he's come in and looked like not a good driver, to be honest. These last two races, I don't truly think reflect how good Liam Lawson is. I do think he's a good driver. But he's looked like a very poor driver in the last two races. And Red Bull need to be decisive.
Yeah.
They need... There's a Constructors' Championship on the line here. They've already fumbled a lot of points in these first two races. And it's going to be an intense season. They acted quick. To some extent, I respect that. However, everyone's here pointing the finger at the second seat. Liam Lawson. Why are we not pointing fingers at Christian Horner? Helmut Marko. Helmut Marko's talent ID, I said this a few months ago, is rotten. There's absolutely no way Max Verstappen is the only person in the world who can drive that Red Bull. It's bullshit. They are simply picking the wrong drivers. Okay, you could talk about Alex Albon. He's gone on to have a... Great, maybe now if Alex Albon came into the Red Bull, he'd actually be a better driver. But identifying rookies coming in, or young drivers... They are always picking the wrong drivers. And like I say, there's a difference between being a Pierre Gasly and Alex Albon and being someone who races for Red Bull. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all, because I think Albon's a great driver. I think Gasly is a great driver. But they're likely two drivers that we're never going to see at top teams going for world championships. And that's fine, because very few people do. But Red Bull are the issue here. Helmut Marko, Christian Horner, they are categorically unable to find a driver that is competent to go in that car, who is competent enough to battle for championships. And Checo did it great, right? for a period of time, Checo was a great find. He wasn't a Red Bull driver, though. He didn't come through the academy. You know, he wasn't on their books for years. Mm. They picked up a very experienced F1 driver who came in and did an unbelievable job as a second driver. But you go back through the years, they haven't found anyone.
Until now, Yuki Tsunoda.
Until now, and I think we could all see that Tsunoda looked like the best choice. Mm. I hope he doesn't come in and it goes wrong for him.
No, that's my worry. And I said this last week on the podcast, didn't I? That's what worries me the most, is I kind of don't want Yuki to get that seat, because I don't know. I don't want it to be tarnished by the Red Bull, you know, curse.
I think Yuki Tsunoda will do just fine.
Mm, I hope so. I hope so. Talking about people who obviously were unhappy, who were happy that he'd gone, but there was also people who were unhappy with it. And there was actually some F1 drivers who were on the grid, because I don't know if you've seen this. There was a quote or a post on Instagram from Vandergaard. Mm-hmm. He used to obviously drive for Caterham back in 2013. On his post, he said, "I'm getting a bit tired of all the comments that F1 is the toughest sport in terms of performances. And when you underdeliver, you've got to face the consequences. Yes, you've got to perform. Yes, the pressure is insane. But in my opinion, this comes closer to bullying or a panic move than actual high athlete mm-hmm. achievements. They made a decision, fully aware, gave Liam two races only to crush his spirit. Don't forget the dedication, hard work and success Liam has put in his career so far to achieve the level where he is now. I remember my own blood, sweat and tears, and that was to reach F1, let alone driving for an absolute top team." He goes on to say, yes, he underperformed the first two races, but if anyone's aware of that, it's himself. Mm-hmm. Perhaps he has suggested this to himself, but if not, I wish Liam all the strength and courage to get to the grid in Japan. Interestingly, from that quote, there was a few drivers who actually liked it. Can you tell me who those drivers were?
I believe Max Verstappen was one.
So Max Verstappen was one, yep.
Can you give me how many drivers?
There is altogether 1, 2, 3, 4.
Pierre Gasly.
Yep.
Alex Albon.
Nope.
I was going for the Red Bull boys there. Carlos Sainz.
No. Shall I just tell you?
Yeah.
Okay. Nico Hülkenberg.
Okay.
And Oscar Piastri.
I mean, look, right, this is a very fair point, and I don't want people to confuse what I said with, you know, like, Red Bull making the decision is very decisive, and he has underperformed. I don't agree with the fact they've got rid of him after two races. I think they should have never put him in there in the first place, but I said that's not with the power of hindsight. I said that before the season started.
We've been very open on this podcast that we felt Yuki Tsunoda was the best fit for Red Bull at this moment in time. Liam Lawson may have been the best fit in maybe a year's time with maybe a full season under his belt with RB. But the issue is they went ahead, felt Liam Lawson was the right option, went with him, gave him two races.
That's what you could, that you cannot do. That is, number one, like, they do have a duty of care, right? And I know I say, like, you know, if you come in as a rookie to a top team, you don't have a grace period. You don't. But two races, that's just simply not enough time.
No.
And I, like I say, I get it because they're being decisive, but I'm not sitting on the fence here. Like, I think Red Bull have made the whole thing has been a huge fuck up.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing for the. It's not embarrassing for Liam Lawson. Like, I'm sorry. It might feel embarrassing for him. Because, yeah, he had two horrendous races in the Red Bull. But this is way more embarrassing for Red Bull than it is Liam Lawson, in my opinion. And I'm sure he's had. I'm sure he's not slept properly, honestly, since Australia. And that's fine. But I hope he is able to come to Red Bull, the Racing Bulls, sorry, and just settle in and just drive, because he's so young. He has got a long career ahead of him, and this is not. This is interesting because this is kind of synonymous, right? Mm. We had Drew McIntyre, WWE superstar, on the pod, right?
Not this podcast.
My other podcast. He actually got dropped. He came into WWE 2009, I think it was. Got labelled as the chosen one by Vince McMahon. 5 years later, dropped.
Really?
They kicked him off. He lost his WWE contract. A few years went by. He ended up... He said he worked his ass off in between. Came back. Drew McIntyre, like anyone that knows WWE, is one of the absolute top dogs. He's like... He carried them through COVID. He is one of the top, top boys. So my point is that like... It will feel like the end of the world for Liam right now. And he'll think, I'll never get another opportunity at a big team. But if you come in to the Racing Bulls and you are good enough, you will get an opportunity somewhere. It might not be with Red Bull, but the other boys will come sniffing. It's not like, this is not the end.
The saving grace is actually, he is going back to RB. So he's still within F1, well, which is
the
great.
The rumours were suggesting that maybe they were just going to get Colapinto in.
Yeah.
And Liam, that by the way, that would have been unforgivable. I would have never worn a piece of Red Bull merch on this that would have got thrown across the room simply because you cannot do that to someone.
Liam deserves to stay in a sport, and we know within RB they seem to be a team that nurture and look after drivers, and you see that in the sense of Yuki Tsunoda. They've done a fantastic job with him. Isaac Hadjar seems to be settling in nicely. They seem to be working very well with him. Liam Lawson, when he's been in there in the past, he performed well. I think RB is probably the perfect fit for him after this to actually go there and go, okay, let's take a breather, let's restart, let's get your career back on track, because he is still young. And I do feel Liam Lawson has a good career within F1.
Yeah.
The issue is I can't ever see him going back to Red Bull. I just can't ever see it because I mean
Red Bull rarely
go back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we've seen that before for Red Bull. But
I do.
I just feel like natural order has been restored.
Mm.
This, how everything is now, is how everything was meant to be anyway.
Yeah.
And Red Bull could have avoided all of this. And this is why I say, like, we need to stop pointing the fingers at the second drivers. The second drivers, you know, they are second to Max Verstappen. Or the second car. We need to start pointing fingers at Helmut Marko, Christian Horner, the boys that make the decisions in that team, because they are fucking it up. And then they make reactionary choices like this. It's not them that suffer. It's the young drivers. You know, it's the Kvyats. It's the Gaslys. It's the Albons. Danny Ricciardo, they even played with him on that comeback. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They're the ones that suffer. And It's elite sport. It's not meant to be all sunshine and rainbows. I get that. But at what point are they going to start getting it right? Because for too long have they been getting it wrong.
It is embarrassing for Red Bull.
Yeah.
And if you're Max Verstappen, you're looking at this, you know, you take us back to a year ago, all that scandal with Christian Horner and, you know, the text messages, all of that stuff. Then obviously keeping hold of Checo, when we've said they were underperforming all the time. Max Verstappen was unhappy. There was beef between Jos Verstappen and Christian Horner. There's been so much drama around Red Bull, especially over the last year, and it seems to continue. If you're Max Verstappen at this moment in time, you're sitting there going, look, I know I'm carrying this team here, but what the hell is going on? Because no one can make a proper decision.
At this point, Red Bull are nothing without Max Verstappen. And that Red Bull have normally always had a good driver in the seat, right? But it's never been to this extent where Max is literally carrying that team, and they seem completely unable to identify a driver that is capable of driving that car as well. So if I was Max Verstappen, I would be looking. I wouldn't make any rash decisions for 2026 because I'd want to suss out the regulations. But if Max Verstappen comes knocking in 2027 to a team that is the top team, anyone takes him.
100%.
You know, if let's say Mercedes have the quickest car, and Max comes knocking. Yeah, one of those boys are going.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because apparently there is talks that this Red Bull has reached its ceiling, and then there's not going to be it's not going to get any better than this. And there was a lot of talks this week about, obviously, if Max Verstappen did decide to leave, especially with everything that's going on, you know, the Red Bull's not going any further. The most likely place to go is Mercedes. That's the likely place where Max Verstappen would next go, because they seem to be the team who are, looks like they're going to be the best fit for the new regulations come 2026.
All the rumours seem to suggest that Mercedes are vastly ahead on engine development.
So, hypothetical, okay. 2026 comes round. Red Bull have had a shock of a season in 2025. There's more drama, you know, everyone is leaving. They've decided to get Nikita Mazepin back into Red Bull because they're going through drivers like anything. Helmut Marko has even reported that he's going to drive alongside Max for the rest of 2025.
It's impressive because he's only got one eye.
Yep. So you're Mercedes. Max Verstappen says, look, I want to come and join you at Mercedes. You're Toto Wolff. Who are you getting rid of?
Yeah.
George Russell or Kimi Antonelli?
That is a really tough one. I mean, obviously, at this very moment, Kimi Antonelli. Like, right now. George, you know, understandably, this is not, like, hate towards Kimi, but, like, George obviously looks like the stronger driver right now. Kimi's had two races in the sport. He's come in and he's done very well, by the way. That could look different in a year's time. Say 2027, it could look very different, but I don't think Toto Wolff would ever get rid of Kimi Antonelli. So I think if I'm Toto, Toto gets rid of George and puts Max in that, 100%.
Yeah, that was my answer, because I think already you've seen...
Whether I agree with it or not is neither here nor there.
Kimi Antonelli is deemed as the next big thing.
Yeah.
In the last two races we've seen in Australia and China, he's performed very well for someone who's a rookie coming in.
China was okay.
Yeah, I mean, he
did fine.
Yeah.
Australia was cool.
Yeah, but fine is still good enough at this moment in time for a rookie like in Kimi.
Very young, 18, remember.
100%. I can't see Toto getting rid of Kimi, and I think the only logical move would be to get rid of George to replace with Max Verstappen. But I want to hear from you guys. What do you think? Obviously, there is a lot of reports about it. Where is Max going to go next? Could all of this drama actually make Max want to move sooner? Because there was a lot of talk that actually he was going to stay for 2026 to see how it embeds and see how the Red Bull car does. But actually, with all this drama continuing...
I think he has to stay for 2026 because... It is a huge gamble to leave. And right now, I really don't see where he goes. I just don't like... Obviously, Ferrari are locked in. McLaren are well and truly locked in. I think it's silly to assume that Mercedes are not locked in at this point. It's kind of like, where does he go? I know he could walk into any team, realistically. If Max Verstappen comes knocking, we'll find space for you.
Yeah.
But at the same time... Yeah, I think he'll stay at Red Bull and for at least a 2026 season.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see. There's something which isn't really spoken about a lot, and it got me thinking the other day. So we've discussed on the podcast before.
That's rare as well.
It is, what me thinking.
Yeah.
We've discussed on the podcast before about the fact that Red Bull kind of have a sister team, and they can do these driver moves and go, actually, you're not fitting very well. You go and drive for them, we'll take you. It's still very weird, and I found it quite unfair still that there's a team in Red Bull who are allowed to kind of do this. There's no other teams on this grid who can do that in any sense. Because when you look at it, realistically, Red Bull have a pool of four drivers. I know they have reserve drivers as well. Mm-hmm. But they can go, oh, do you know what, actually not performing, so we'll move you and you can have them. Where it doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, no one ever thinks about the consequences this is going to have for VCarb.
Yeah.
Like, no one's there. You know, everyone's thinking Liam Lawson and Red Bull. There's actually a team here who have lost their lead driver, and Yuki Tsunoda.
And your mate, you know, you've got 10 teams on the grid, but you're basically saying to, you know, RB, well, it doesn't really matter where you finish because you're a sister team to us. So if you finish ninth, it doesn't really matter as long as we can get the good driver in our team.
But how does it work across the whole sort of hierarchy? You know, our engineers at RB in the pool, so they maybe are working towards working for Red Bull. Does it work that way, or is it purely drivers?
I don't know. I would assume you have that luxury of going, well, actually, they've performed really well as a, you know, an engineer there. We can get them over.
Yeah.
I suppose it works if you're...
So, look, part of me doesn't... I don't really care about the RB-Red Bull relationship. For me, it's fine. It's kind of always existed, to be honest. It's one of the ones that now just feels normal. Like, it would almost be weird to...
But no other team has that luxury. No other... Okay, if Red Bull at this moment in time...
But I guess another team could.
Yes.
Red Bull have invested a lot of money in RB.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, answer me this then. So, say RB didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's another team there. I don't know. Caterham, for example, just going back to what we were saying earlier. Liam Lawson has underperformed. Well, where do Red Bull go? Red Bull don't have the luxury of going, oh, let's have a look across the grid and pick whoever we want to. What, the reserve driver?
It obviously gives them an advantage, but it's not like, it's not one they've just been afforded. Like, they've had to work for it. You know, a lot of money has gone into sustaining two teams. And I know they all work on like separate corporations, but to operate essentially under the Red Bull name, like the amount of money that Red Bull will invest into these drivers, it is a luxury, but it's not a luxury that has just been handed to them. It's not like, oh, here you go, you're Red Bull, have an extra team. Like, it's still something that they've actively, and any other team, maybe a little bit difficult now, but any other team in theory could do it.
In theory.
It's not like prohibited. So I think it's smart from Red Bull, really. I mean, what would they do? What would they do if Liam Lawson was underperforming and they didn't have a second team?
Do you go for your reserve driver? Do you...
Checo?
Danny Rick, are you free? What are you up to?
Do you reckon it would be Danny Rick?
No, I think they'll just get Checo back.
Oh my God, that would... Checo that would be pissing... They'd be like, well, you know the 30 mil that we gave you for leaving? Can we have it back? No.
I bet Checo is absolutely loving this.
I bet he laughed so hard it was measured on the Richter scale.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
And I understand. Lawson disrespected Checo on track. If anyone can laugh at Liam Lawson, it is Sergio Perez. That's the nature of the world we live in.
However, there's only one driver who's still left in the sport. So, can't laugh that hard.
That is true, but Checo's had a great career.
He has.
And actually... He's a multiple race winner.
Talking about Checo, there is... reports that there are three drivers that are linked to the Cadillac seat in 2026. Sergio Perez is heavily linked to that seat. Valtteri Bottas as well. Daniel Ricciardo is on that list.
Danny Rick will not be coming back to F1. He's done.
Sergio Perez makes the logical sense. And yes, okay, his career at Red Bull didn't end well, but he's experienced. He's a race winner. For a new team coming into the sport, having that sort of... And I suppose you could say the same with Bottas.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those would be great for the team because having that knowledge and experience, in my opinion, Bottas would be the most sensible one in the fact that he's still in and around the sport, he's still learning, he's still testing as such,
mm-hmm.
and he has a good amount of knowledge. He has a good amount of knowledge from, you know, the Ferrari engines, the Mercedes engines, race winning and all of that stuff. He has so much knowledge. For me, Bottas would be the most logical driver to take that Cadillac seat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Checo has more recent experience at a top team. Didn't go too well towards the end. I think both drivers would be good options. I have my reservations about Checo purely because of how it went for him in the Red Bull, particularly in the last season. Bottas is hard to determine because, you know, he got really unlucky with that stake decision. But I think, yeah, I don't think they could go wrong with either of them, really.
What I don't want for Cadillac, though, is I don't want both of them in
the
seat.
Both of them doesn't make sense. Because that's ridiculous.
I'd rather one of them and maybe an F2 driver.
Yeah.
You know, someone with a bit of... who's just coming through, you know, like a Bortoletto or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do let us know. Who would you like to see in that Cadillac seat for 2026? You're going to like this one. Lance Stroll. And I don't know whether this quote is actually true, but I've seen it floating around. Okay. Mm. So he has reportedly said, put me in that second Red Bull seat and watch Max Verstappen finish P2.
He didn't say that. Wait. There's no way he said that. I'm sorry, I don't know what your source is, but you've been absolutely done there.
No.
I need a source on that.
I've seen a few of them. I've seen a few posts of it.
I'm just not buying this. Where did you find that?
Right. I found it online.
I mean, Max might be finishing P2, but he's not the person in P1. I wholeheartedly believe Lance Stroll would never ever say such a thing.
Let me see. I've seen a lot of it. Let me type it in. Lance Stroll on second Red Bull seat. I really hope it's true.
It's not true. Comment down below if you think this quote is true, because I know for a fact that that is not true.
Okay, I can't find. But look, I do have a post there. It does say that. But hypothetically, then, Max Verstappen, Lance Stroll goes into that second Red Bull seat. Does he beat Max Verstappen?
No. No, he never beats Max Verstappen. I think Lance would do a better job than what Liam has done in the last two races.
I would love it.
I stand by that.
Can you imagine all of these drivers on the grid? Helmut Marko's gone through, you know. Gasly, Albon, Ricciardo, Checo, Lawson, Tsunoda. But the only driver they actually needed for that Red Bull seat was Lance Stroll.
The answer was right in front of you, boys.
Can you imagine?
Who would be happier if Lance got that seat at Red Bull? Him or his dad?
Oh, his dad. Lance would be like, yes, right.
His dad would be like, great, let's get a proper driver. Oh, I'm joking. Relax. Lance had a really good season. We spoke about Lance Stroll last week. And his start to the season has been...
it's been very,
very
good.
Very impressive. So I hope it continues, because we really thought he had just fully checked out last year. He was like, I don't even care. I'm literally here. For him, it's a hobby. That's what it felt like last season.
We thought he was off playing ice hockey.
Yeah, like he just doesn't give a fuck.
No.
But this season, looking very good, and especially, it was Australia, I think, where he qualified, he got into Q3, didn't he? And he really celebrated it, and it's good to see. That's all I want to see from Lance Stroll, is just his passion reignited.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But he will not be going to Red Bull.
This next one, you're going to like this.
Will I?
It's about V10s.
Oh, I've heard the rumours floating around.
So what is the future for F1 engines? As we know, coming into 2026 with the new regulations, the F1 are sticking with 1.6-litre V6 turbo engine, hybrid engines. However, there was talk over the last couple of weeks from the FIA president that potentially we could see the return of V10s at some point.
I don't really trust what this man says.
No. So can you tell me when was the last time V10s were used? Were 3-litre V10s?
Oh, V10s. Got like 2002 or something.
2005.
Yeah, it was close.
So the FIA president has asked his F1 single-seater director, Nicholas Tombasis, to look into the matter. Tombasis said that the advent of sustainable fuels could allow F1 to make the engine simpler and cheaper. That's why the president made the comments about V10 engines with the potential of seeing the return in 2028 or 2029 and so on. And that is something which they are now going back to discuss with the manufacturers to see if this is possible.
What can I just say, right? The issue with these cars is, but part of the reason they're so big is because of the hybrid technology, right? Looking into the 2026 regulations as well, there has been so many complaints about the complexity of these engines. From a fan perspective, the cars sound like utter dross. Like, there's no way in which you can dress it up and think, oh, that sounds good. They don't. They don't sound good. I don't know if you've been to an F1 race recently. Oh, you have, obviously. Mm. You went to, but you listening at home, if you've been to an F1 race recently, the Porsches, when I went to Silverstone, the Porsches, louder. They were louder than the F1 cars. Mm. The F2 cars sound so much better. The F1 cars, like, genuinely sound, like, embarrassing, if I'm honest. And shouldn't be that way. And we talk about the pinnacle of motorsport. That's everything that comes with it. And if you think of fast cars, you instantly think of a loud engine. Hmm. They're synonymous. And we don't have that right now. And I think it would really, really enhance the viewers' experience if we did bring these back. If it allows us to then make the cars smaller because we don't need all this technology, the hybrid technology, great. If it makes them simpler to build, great for the engineers. But let's not forget, I've said this many times, we can literally create synthetic fuels now. That is sustainable, right? Part of the reason this all came in, the hybrid stuff, was to make the sport more sustainable. Great. But now we can do that alternatively. We can do that with synthetic fuels. And they've only just made the calendar a little bit more sensible. If they really cared about sustainability, they would have made the F1 calendar sort of all in a line. So you don't have to fly here, oh, to that part of the world. Oh, now all the way down here. Now we're going to go back here. Actually, let's go to America again, because why not? We'll just do that 3 times, but we'll nip to Brazil in between. Like, make that make sense, and then maybe we can get on board with this sustainability thing a little bit more. But like I said, synthetic fuels, use them, V10s, make the calendar sensible. Just from doing that, the sport is going to be more sustainable and environmentally friendly.
I agree. No, I agree. The noise of a V10 engine, though, is beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, even if they brought back V8s, I'd be happy with that. But, you know, give us engine noises, not artificial. I don't want them like, oh, we're running hybrids, but we're going to play them through a speaker. Just give us real engine noises, man.
Do let us know. Do you want V10s back? As you know, on this podcast, we like a new track. We like the designs of new track. And I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a private racetrack in Japan, which was commissioned by a billionaire, who decided to carve it into the mountainside just outside of Tokyo. And I have to say,
that's how you know you've got too much money.
Yeah. It boasts 22 corners and an 800 meter straight with views of Mount Fuji. Look at that.
It looks pretty cool.
It looks sick, doesn't it? Obviously, if you, I will post it up on, this clip will be on TikTok, so go and check it out.
It looks better than some of the tracks that have hit the F1 calendar recently.
But I'll also just show it on here, and I don't know if you can see that properly. It looks cool, doesn't it? It looks nice. I like it.
Are there any rumours that maybe we'll...
No, but if you didn't, you can go there. Anyone can go there and go around it, apparently. But for some reason, if you didn't fancy going for a drive, the club also has an infinity pool, restaurant, gym and karaoke room. There you go.
A karaoke room? Mm. That's fucking random.
Lovely. Talking about grids, this one...
Talking about grids?
Not grids, circuits, sorry.
Oh.
Talking about circuits. I don't know if you've seen a new F1 trailer for the game.
I actually haven't.
Haven't you? So that came out this week.
Have they fixed the physics?
Reports don't seem to say they have at this moment in time. They don't know whether they have or not. We don't know. You can't really gauge that from the trailer.
Because if they haven't, I'm not getting it.
However, I've got a little question for you, because there were some hints within there that we may get reverse grids in this year's game. And that got me thinking, what circuits on the current 2025 race calendar would be cool as a reverse grid? One I thought that which would be quite fun would be Austria. And the reason being for that is, you know, that into turn one, you've got a long straight up the hill. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine coming back down that way? That would be cool.
You're confusing me here. Are we talking about reverse grids, or are we talking about like racing the track in reverse?
Racing the track in reverse.
So why didn't you say that?
That's what I meant.
A reverse grid would be...
Okay,
we've qualified. You qualified P1, starting last.
I just realised, okay. Reverse... Crikey, what a day. What I'm talking about is what tracks would be good as a reverse driving circuit. I can't get this right.
Are you guys still listening to this? What tracks would be good to race in reverse?
What tracks would be good to race in reverse?
Right, well, you just copied exactly what I said, but you said it in a way that made it sound like you thought about it.
I did, yep.
Sorry.
I have to apologise. That took a while to get there.
I don't know. Does it make too much of a difference wherever you go?
Can you imagine Monaco into that small last turn?
That would be
chaos.
That would be pretty crazy. But there still wouldn't be any overtaking. See, I was thinking when you were talking about reverse grids, I was thinking like, okay, what's a great track for overtaking where we could see like boys at the back? Yeah. I was thinking like Spa could be quite good for a reverse grid. Mm. Racing in reverse.
Austria, I think, would be cool. Because you've got that long down, it would be a long downhill straight uphill.
That'd be very hard braking into that.
Mm. Spa, can you imagine that into the last corner?
Oh, what? So as in the bus stop essentially becomes your second.
Yeah, that'd be carnage.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't know what would be like a very good track for it. Imola?
Bahrain? Because that would be okay, because you'll be going straight. It'd be a...
Bahrain, you might see a little bit more overtaking straight off the bat.
Do let us know. I know it took a while to get there, but do let us know.
I wonder why they've made that a feature. Like, is that really, that's the feature they've brought? Rather than being like, you know what we should do? Let's fix the physics of the game because it's absolutely crap. We're going to let people race the track the other way around. That'll keep them happy. I didn't buy last year's game. I don't know about you lot at home. You might not play it anyway, but we always used to play F1, didn't we?
Yep.
Like every week.
Yep.
Then they brought out F1 24.
It was awful.
Fucking sucked. I got the trial because everyone had said like, this sucks. I got the trial and it sucked. So I was like, nah.
We used to play it a lot, didn't we?
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it was so bad. I literally haven't played my PlayStation since then, I don't think.
No, I've played some Assetto Corsa, but that's on my PC anyway.
Do let us know what tracks would be good as a reverse... Yeah.
To race in reverse?
To race in reverse. I really can't get that right today.
No, you can't. Have you seen who's on the cover?
Lewis Hamilton.
No. Not Lewis Hamilton.
But it is.
No, Lewis Hamilton is on the Iconic Edition. That's a special edition. Who's on the cover of F1 25?
I haven't seen it. Is it three drivers?
Three.
Is Kimi on there?
No.
I haven't seen... I don't think I've seen it.
Oscar Piastri.
2025 world champion.
Carlos Sainz.
Nice.
And Ollie Bearman. I'm sorry. Someone's got to say it. That is the worst title cover ever.
Who do you have then?
That is 3 second drivers.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't diss Oscar like that.
That is
who,
3 second
who drivers. Would you pick then?
Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, Lando Norris. Bang. Yeah. Okay. There's your Hollywood shot.
Yeah. You could argue
three different teams.
You could argue Leclerc.
Yeah, but like...
For a new era.
You would put Lewis Hamilton in red over Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, but if he's on the iconic one, you'd better just have Charles Leclerc.
Then you could use... But you'd be better off just using Lewis Hamilton on all of them.
Yeah, true.
Oli Bearman, Carlos Sainz, and Oscar Piastri. Sorry, that is the middest front cover ever.
Yeah. No, I agree. I've got a little quiz for you.
Oh, no, brilliant. Every week we seem to do a big fun quiz, so join in if you want.
There is 4 drivers on the grid who do not have a home track. Home circuit. Can you tell me who they are?
I probably can. Are we going to Paul Ricard this year?
No.
Esteban Ocon.
Yeah.
Pierre Gasly. Isaac Hadjar. And Liam Lawson.
Yeah. Also, you could argue the case that Albon doesn't. Although...
Yeah, technically... No, Albon doesn't. He races under the Thai flag.
Yep, so he doesn't. Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I did pretty well in that.
You did. Another fun fact for you. Max Verstappen is the only driver who has been in the top 4 in every competitive session so far in 2025. That's qualifying P3 in Australia, race P2. Sprint qualifying in China, P2. Sprint race, P3. Qualifying P4, race P4.
How are you doing in F1 Fantasy?
Way better than you. I did post a video about this the other day.
If you guys do want to join our F1 Fantasy, the link will be in the description. If you're listening to us, just drop us a DM and we can send it to you.
I got 2 teams.
Why? That's sad.
Not really.
That's very sad. I am currently... Just for reference, we've got... What? We've got... 87?
92.
Yeah, but if... Oh, okay, 92. There are 92 teams in this. Obviously, some people are level, so you could maybe have, like, 2 people in 77th position. I'm 87th, which is last. I'm the only person with negative points. So, it's been 2 races, and I'm actually in a worse place than I was at the start of the season, before we had raced anywhere. -6. Next up is 25 points, so I'm only 31 points off. My downfall was having Lewis Hamilton, Pierre Gasly, Ferrari, and Alpine. So it couldn't really have got much worse for me.
I got 259 points with my first team. My second team is 309 points.
This week I got -18.
Did you? Well done.
In Australia, I got 12, hence the -6.
Good going. I got 181 points in China.
I'm going to have to do something to mix it up because there is... this guy's using his like cost cap. But he had Ferrari and Charles Leclerc. The guy at the top is on 490 points. Which I actually don't even know if I can claw that back. At this point, like, it feels like I'm too far behind already.
Give up now.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, we should actually look ahead to Japan because it is race week, everyone. This is you. This is my segment where I use the BoxBox app to tell you exactly what to expect when we get to Japan. So, the Japanese Grand Prix, 5.8 kilometres long, 53 laps, 18 turns, top speed of 305.7 kilometres with a 40.43 metre elevation. Now, practice 1, if you are in the UK, is at 3:30 a.m. Good luck with that one. I will not be joining you. Practice 2, 7 a.m. Practice 3 will be at 3:30 a.m. on the Saturday morning as we head into qualifying. 7 a.m. Nice. Can deal with those. Why make the race an hour earlier? All of a sudden, the race at 6 a.m. on a Sunday. It's not as nice. Just make it 7. But anyway, that's where we are this weekend. Who's your top three and why?
My top three is Oscar Piastri.
Why?
I
Yuki Tsunoda to win at his home race.
That'd be class, wouldn't it?
That's going to happen.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I think Yuki...
Luca's jinx. What? Okay, so me saying Oscar Piastri to win, you're saying, why? Ridiculous. But you come out and go, Yuki Tsunoda, who's never driven in that Red Bull, is going to go and win his home race.
Tell me that this isn't scripted. Yuki Tsunoda doesn't get the seat at Red Bull. Liam Lawson does.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Liam Lawson drops some of the all-time stinkers. He gets dropped after 2 races. You know, that's pretty much unheard of. Who gets the seat? Yuki Tsunoda. Where's his first race? Home race. Who's winning it? Him.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd love to see it. I do not think it's happening. My top three is Oscar Piastri. I want to say a Ferrari, but I'm unsure where they are at the moment.
Yeah, don't trust him.
Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris, and for the form that Mercedes are on at the moment, I'm probably going to have to say George Russell. Pretty much the same as what we saw in China. I just think that Mercedes at the moment is better than the Ferrari and Red Bull.
Well, yeah, I mean,
because there's no guarantee, you know, Ferrari might get themselves disqualified again. Who knows?
Ferrari are literally fulfilling every doubt that I had about them at this point in time. So I really hope they can change that up. Apparently, Ferrari fans are used to this.
Who's your top three then?
Top three, Lando Norris.
Oh, come on, firm it. If you're going to say Yuki, firm it.
Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah.
Lando Norris and Kimi Antonelli.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bold.
It's fucking bold.
So that one ain't happening. Okay.
Stick a fiver on that. You know, I'm going to do it. I bet it comes in. Do you know who the most successful constructor is at Japan?
Ooh. Ferrari?
And?
McLaren?
How many wins?
What? How many Ferrari wins?
Well, they're both the same.
Are they?
Well, that's why I said and.
15.
7.
Okay.
You muppet. Do you know the most successful driver?
Michael Schumacher?
Yeah. How many wins?
7.
6.
6. Let me guess, yeah.
What?
Rubens Barrichello got one or something.
I don't know.
Wait, come
maybe,
on.
Maybe it was Seb. I don't know.
Oh,
lap record?
Lewis Hamilton.
And what is that time?
Oh, now this. Now me doing this really. 1 minute. 40.
Wrong. 1 minute 30.9.
Okay.
You're 10 seconds off.
All right, well, I got...
You got the 1 minute part.
Yeah.
That was good.
True.
It's going to be a very interesting weekend, but realistically, I put Yuki Tsunoda first because I'm a dreamer, but I don't see anyone but these McLarens taking victory. The car looks hooked up.
And we got 3 race weekends in a row.
We do. Beautiful. Should mention... We are not going to be here on the Tuesday after, or the Monday. Audio now comes out Monday, by the way. That's official. And video will still be out on Tuesday for YouTube. It just takes a little bit more time to turn a video around. We won't be here on the Tuesday after Bahrain.
Yes.
Because I am in Paris. So I won't be here to film, basically.
But I'll continue to do some clips.
Yeah, we'll still post clips on social. But yeah, a triple header. These next three races could be very defining of the season.
100%.
You know, after these three races, I think we're likely to see McLaren have a resounding lead. Mm. We could also see a definitive title contender.
Yeah.
But it also could get very interesting. I'm hearing rumours of plenty of upgrades coming pretty much across the board. Red Bull, Ferrari, there's been rumours about Mercedes bringing stuff. So it is all subject to change. I know at this point McLaren look like the strongest team, but we do have to expect fluctuations throughout the season. You know, look at McLaren last season. Took them a while, but they came through and they won the Constructors. So let's keep our fingers crossed. We will get a tight battle.
It's going to be interesting. And these three tracks coming up are brilliant. Japan, Bahrain, your favourite.
One of
your favourites.
I do love Bahrain.
Saudi, one of my favourites. Mm-hmm. I just love the track. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for these next three race weekends. I think, like you say, it's going to be very... Coming out of these three... We're going to really see where everyone is. If Ferrari are off the pace, then we know that actually that's going to be a really long season potentially.
Yeah.
If we know that McLaren continues to go from strength to strength, then we know that is pretty much where this season is going.
I think if McLaren won two the next three races, it's going to be incredibly difficult to catch them.
100%, yeah.
For the rest of the season. I know it's only five races in. It is a long season, but... My point is, at that point, the likelihood of them dropping off so bad,
yeah,
very unlikely. They still look like a team that is on an upwards trajectory. And yeah, I think now is the point where we move on to the final segment of the show, where we take your questions, the fans, where you can submit them is our Instagram, BoxBoxPod. And you can also email us at podcast@boxbox.club. Am I right? Nailed it.
So Will.Shields10 has asked, if not Yuki, which driver would you have replaced Lawson with? Realistic answers only.
Hadjar? Like, what are there other options? Two races in. You're not taking anyone from another team.
No.
You know, it's not like, oh, we'll go after Pierre Gasly. Alpine aren't letting him go.
No.
Doesn't happen. There's no one on the grid that they could have taken. So what, they either run back to Checo. They're not doing that. They've just spent millions to get him out of the contract. You pay Alpine a shit ton of money for Colapinto.
Could be an option. But again, that is risky in itself because realistically, who would you say was better, Lawson or Colapinto, before... heading into 2024.
Well, exactly. I mean, I actually don't know what Red Bull would have done if they didn't have that second team. If they didn't have that second team, they just wouldn't get rid of Lawson. And I know that doesn't answer the question. That's kind of like avoiding it, but...
Could they have contacted Bottas?
Maybe you try and get a Bottas, yeah.
I'm not, you know, or...
I think something like that is the only option. You don't go back to Checo. You're not pulling Danny Ric out of retirement. There's a reason he retired. Mm. And you're not getting anyone off the grid after two races. It's just not happening. So, yeah, maybe Bottas is the only option.
Yeah, do let us know. Lou_Bowden has asked, your most hated current F1 rule?
No refueling. That seems to piss people off. People really didn't like...
Health and safety risk. It's a health and safety risk. I told you that.
Yeah, as if driving around a track at 250 miles per hour isn't a health and safety risk. But people called us clueless. And it's like, we're not necessarily saying that it gives you better racing. I think maybe...
Apparently we haven't watched F1 before.
Yeah, people seem to really misinterpret what we said. But it gives you... strategies that makes it more interesting.
Yeah,
that's all we're saying. I would say that is now that isn't that isn't the worst rule. I actually don't know. Like, generally, I think the rules in the sport are, I mean, probably the swearing
rule. But I was going to say, my one is the misconduct rule. Yeah, with coming in that you can't swear, you can't, you know,
can't do this, you can't have an opinion, you're certainly not allowed to support, like, underrepresented groups. It's like, that's the worst rule in the sport.
Yeah, and that's...
I would say, like, generally, like, the rules that they have in the sport, I'm actually pretty happy with how everything is.
Yeah, because when I saw this question, I was thinking to myself, I was like, what rule do I hate the most? And it is the misconduct one that came out before the season started. Yeah. I just think it's stupid. You want to see these drivers be the real them. And I'd like
F1 to adopt like an NHL style policy where, like, if there's a bit of a like scuffle on track, they just like park up the cars, jump out, and they just fucking scrap it out.
Or like Schumacher and David Coulthard.
Yeah, how good would that be? It's like, look, none of this like handbags in the media stuff. Oh, you're not allowed to swear. Nah, boys, pull in, right? We'll add lay-bys to all the tracks. It doesn't add any time either. It's just all the while you're parked up, like, time's not getting added on to your, you know, if you finish, it's just a time. Step out, helmets off, don't keep them on. Scrap. How good would that be? So then, like, all of a sudden, like, imagine 2021. Oh my God, Lewis and Max would have been out of the car constantly. Max has to finish the race with, like, a busted eye. That would make it very interesting.
Who would win out of a fight between Lewis and Max?
Oh, Lewis, 100%.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think Max could...
No, I think Max, gift of the gab, talks. It was all talk. I think as soon as Lewis hit him with a little left-right combo, he'd be straight back in the car. I can see it. That would be a great rule, though, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Adopt an NHL-style policy for when it comes to settling beef, and they just fight it out, and I just have a scrap.
Or what would be better, bumper cars type style?
No, because all of a sudden it gets dangerous, right?
Oh, and pulling up on the hard shoulder while cars are still going 250 miles or whatever.
Yeah, but you don't want to be pissing.
Having a fight on the side is not dangerous.
Imagine, like, you know, I'm not saying the best thing to do is not be like, right, well, he almost took my front wing, so I'm going to T-bone him at the next corner. You know, all of a sudden, there we're playing with lives. If they just have a little scrap, come on. It's entertaining.
Well, would you cap it? You can only fight for 20 seconds, then you have to get back in the car.
Yeah, or like, you know, first blood wins.
Well, you're really on this WWE thing, aren't you?
I think it's a good rule. I don't know if you agree. Let us know down below.
A lot of these questions were regarding, obviously, Yuki. Now that Yuki is at Red Bull, how do you compare him to the other seven drivers in the top four teams? That's a good question.
I think he's very hard to compare because every other driver at those top teams, other than George Russell, has never been at a lower team. Okay, Charles Leclerc at Alfa Romeo, but he was very young and he was always going into that Ferrari seat and he made the step very quickly. George Russell, again, it was kind of always known he was getting that Mercedes seat when he was at Williams. Incredibly hard to judge because that car was so bad at the time. So I really don't know. I know that sounds like a cop-out. I'm just not sure that's a question you can answer. You know, it's got to be said, out of all of them that haven't been at top teams, Yuki looks like the best driver. You know, he's, at this point in time, he's better than what George was at Williams, and he's better than Charles was when he was at Alfa Romeo.
Yuki's rise has been phenomenal. We spoke back in 2022 when we started this. There was a lot of questions whether Yuki could step up and perform. He had very inconsistent performances at the beginning of his career.
Hot-headed.
Very hot-headed. And he's matured. And I think when you look at last season, that was a real mature season for Yuki. Yes, okay, he had his little rants in the car, but I like that. I like that. It shows a bit of passion, a bit of desire. I think he's on the right right step, and I really hope it works out for him at Red Bull.
This season, it would have been so easy for him to come in and absolutely lose his head, because we all know he deserved that seat at Red Bull. He'll know that better than anyone. And actually, it got taken away from him by Liam Lawson, who didn't deserve the seat, in our opinion, at that point in time. So it would have been really easy for Yuki to come in and be absolutely his head fried. But he didn't. He came back. He's looked like a leader in that team. It looks like he's got a really good relationship with Isaac Hadjar. Learn to speak. And he's been putting in some great performances. So I think we are seeing a real mature F1 driver. And I think what I love about the Yuki story is it's not like this story that all the other boys have. It's not like Charles Leclerc, destined for Ferrari, George Russell, destined for Mercedes, Kimi Antonelli. He doesn't even have to race for another team. You know, Lewis Hamilton came into a top team. Lando, Oscar, they've all come into top teams. And okay, Max earlier I mentioned. I forgot to mention, obviously, he was at Toro Rosso. But again, it was always Max is, he's the golden boy. He's the next one. He's coming into the Red Bull seat. He wasn't at Toro Rosso long. He was so good. And I think Yuki's had to do it a different way. No one, and this might be controversial to people, no one has had to work harder for their seat in those top four teams than Yuki Tsunoda.
And I think you also see how people react to the news and how happy they are for him. Yuki seems, you look at all of his teammates, okay? He's got on really well with Pierre Gasly, that relationship when they were together.
Yeah.
They got on really well. Obviously, Isaac Hadjar being there, he got on well with Danny Rick. Even Liam Lawson, they've all had good relationships. Everyone always comes out of that team speaking very highly of Yuki. Mm. So, yes, okay, he's hot-headed, he's passionate, all of this stuff. But he's always had a very good reputation within the sport. And I've seen some comments from his team principal after his race engineers and that coming out after saying, oh, you know, sorry that it's ended now, but really proud to see, you know, you go on and hopefully deliver. He's a very likable character within the sport. So for me, seeing him make this move now to Red Bull is just brilliant. And I hope for his sake, it is successful. I really do. Because this leads on to the next question, which Liv Jessop's asked. What happens if Yuki is just as bad as Lawson? Which is a good question. Because
It is
a possibility. It is a possibility.
See, I disagree. I don't think it's a possibility. I think they are going to... They're so going to realise they've got the right man in the seat now. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I think Yuki Tsunoda is going to be challenging Max Verstappen. That's not the criteria for this second seat either, right? You don't have to be. They need someone that is just going to be picking up points. They're still going to be competing. Let's not forget, Checo outperformed Max on occasion. We will see that from Yuki.
Yeah.
Max Verstappen is a driver on a different stratosphere, right? I know this somehow gets people wound up. He is in the same conversation as the Lewis Hamiltons, the Max Verstappen, the Michael Schumachers. He is in those conversations. I don't care what anyone says. I had to sit down and watch Abu Dhabi 2021 as a Lewis Hamilton fan, right? I am coming out and saying that about Max Verstappen because it's a fact. Yuki Tsunoda just has to be a very good driver.
He needs to pick up those P4s, P5s, those podiums to help Red Bull with the constructors and get them across the line.
If Max Verstappen is winning a race, Yuki Tsunoda needs to be finishing P2 or P3. Mm. It's as simple as that. And I believe Yuki Tsunoda is capable of fulfilling that role. And he is going to get a race win at some point.
I would agree with you. And like we said before, he is the person who we felt should have got that seat last, you know, this year anyway. It's just, if it doesn't work out for Yuki, where does he go from there? Because he can't go back to RB. That RB bit, in my opinion, is done now. He can't go back because...
Yeah, well, he's had his development.
Yeah.
You know, he shouldn't need to go back to RB. I don't know. I'm not even going to look there because for me, Yuki Tsunoda is not going to fail.
Okay, conversation done. Let's not think about it. He's going to succeed.
Yuki Tsunoda will succeed at Red Bull. You've had it here.
Let's hope we don't do that clip in a few races' time of you going, he will succeed at Race Bull, and he's been P20 every single time. But that is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you have enjoyed it. We'll be back next week reviewing the Japanese Grand Prix, a 6 a.m. start.
Yeah, and obviously we'll be looking straight ahead to Saudi Arabia.
It's not Saudi, mate. You keep getting this wrong. It's Bahrain.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously we're going from Japan to Bahrain, not Saudi Arabia.
There's not many times I am right, but I'll take that one.
That's what I was saying.
I'll take that one.
Is that when I'm in Paris then?
I don't know.
No, am I going to Paris in 2 weeks?
So you're missing Bahrain.
Well, I'm going to watch it. I'll just watch it in Paris, but I'm a little bit confused because I did think it was...
I love this whole thing when Luke actually realises something isn't what's in his head.
No, yeah, I am going to Paris like next weekend. Interesting. Who knew?
What, Japan?
No, next weekend. Okay. People listening to this, it's Monday.
Okay, the weekend off. Okay, yeah. Okay. Right, hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. If you have, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button. Subscribe if you're new. Do check us out on all social media. We post twice, sometimes three times daily on TikTok. So do check us out on there. We are consistent. We have been very consistent. So come and join us on there.
And we are growing. Can I just say, since September last year, we have nearly 5x'd our listening figures.
We have. Good job. Well done. Keep supporting, really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.